All right, that'll do it for this program. Don't go anywhere, though. Jaguars Thursday is primed and ready to go after the draft that just about everybody's talking about. Let's bring in Messrs. Shadrick, Lagerman, and Baselli. What's up, fellas?
Mr. Frangie, good afternoon. And, yeah, I guess there was a draft this time last week. It started, and it's gone pretty well.
The fact that it was only a week ago is shocking.
Is it really only a week?
It was like a year ago.
I thought the same. I said the same thing because it felt like it, didn't it? It? But, guys, obviously, and I know it's only buzz after a draft. No one's played a game. But as much buzz about a draft here that we can ever remember, right?
Well, Frank, I do believe that, and I think it has potential to be a great draft. But like any draft, it's all potential. And you have to let it play out. But as far as where guys fell and what you were able to get, I don't think it could have gone any better. I mean, I thought it was outstanding. And, the enthusiasm and the excitement's real. And you know what? I've decided is that you and your show are the grand marshal, the leaders of that enthusiasm. Because I've never heard a group of people so dang excited about the draft.
Frank and crew, the pom-pom squad?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You call me Captain Sunshine? Yeah. I mean, you guys had your mini skirts on, pom-poms, and everything else.
Dude, guilty as charged.
Holy cow. You guys were doing stunts.
Just hold off on the mini skirt.
You had Brady up over your head. Amanda Borges was, a flyer. I mean, she was it was great.
I am guilty. And you know what? 4 days later, I still am now. And I may be the biggest dummy in town, man, but I am. I think I'm thrilled about it.
I'm surprised Brent could even contain himself.
Were they hugging?
Hugging, high-fiving, fist bumping.
They had
stunt formations, cards.
Stunt formations, fantastic.
I mean, it was unreal.
Did you say cards?
Cards, stunt cards.
Angie's in there giving them lessons.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know way too much about cheerleading. Right?
Way too much.
That's a little scary. All right, the first two guys everyone knows about, Jeff. Ngakoue, though, could be the real key to this thing, right? You loved him from the first time you talked about him, right?
Yeah, he was when you put the kind of sacks that he put up, at the University of Maryland, what is it, the Big Ten,
Big
I guess?
Ten. Good offensive line play.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Jack Conklin was a first-round pick.
And he abused him.
Oh. He went by Jack Conklin one time like he was turnstile.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the Titans draft, but I wouldn't have picked Conklin that high. But
no, that was kind of surprising. But here's the thing about Ngakoue. He had better change his attitude about how he plays the run.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's not a real willing run player.
No, and that's the problem. It's a matter of being willing. He's able, but he hasn't been willing. It's almost as if when the snap happened and he identified that it was run, it was, it's a run, let me just kind of jog to the play. He's going to have to change his attitude, and I guarantee you Todd Walsh is going to change that attitude pretty quick because he's not going to see the field unless he can stop the run a little bit. But as far as a pure pass rusher goes, he's quick.
Third down.
He's violent. He's got bend. He's got a great finish and a great awareness for where the ball is, which, a lot of college pass rushers don't. They don't go for the ball, but he does, and he finishes. But let me add something else here, Frank. Everybody's talking about the top three picks. Mm-hmm. Today – I don't know, four hours maybe of watching the remaining picks. The fourth round pick.
Sheldon Day.
The two sixth-round picks and the seventh-round
pick. Sheldon Day can play.
Sheldon Day is an athlete.
Well, a lot of people thought he would be a second-rounder.
He
could
is
be a second-rounder.
A good enough athlete to where he could play Leo on first down.
Wow.
Seriously.
Leo?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, because, when he was at Notre Dame, he played three.
He played all over the place.
He played stand-up. He played, 3-4 defensive end.
He's a broad guy,
he was
too.
Probably his most impactful when he stood up or had his hand in the ground lined up to the outside as a defensive end.
The negative on Sheldon Day and the reason why he didn't get drafted any higher is
– this is measurable.
Is measurable.
It's his length.
He has shorter arms and doesn't have great strength.
He doesn't have great
length. Great. And his
great motor.
He didn't test out great on strength either.
No, great, but great motor.
I mean, SC played him every year. As far as a football player, holy cow!
Watching his combine performance and how he moves,
he's an athlete now. He's a natural athlete.
He's an athlete, and he's built like a, brick, house.
I get it.
A poop
thick.
A poop house.
Kind of looks a little bit like Senderic, but he's not. I mean, he's thick throughout.
Yeah. Let me interrupt you real quick because you brought up Senderic. Senderic's not the strongest human being.
No, but he's athletic strong.
That's my point. I'm not saying Sheldon Days is going to be as good as Cindric Marks right away, but if you just tested Cindric Marks, now Cindric has long arms, but if you just tested his strength ability, he ain't going to blow you away.
It's Tony. It's the same type of player as, you know, Leon Searcy.
Yeah,
I mean Leon Searcy was in a weight room. We used to go, God, he's weak.
Look at
Leon over there. He's got 225 on the bench.
I used to say
laughing.
All the time, the two weakest offensive linemen on the team.
You and Leon.
Me and Leon.
Yeah.
You've told me that many times. On the surface, looks like a bunch of three techniques, but that's counting Michael Bennett and Cindric and Malik Jackson, but that's okay, right? Because you move guys all around.
Well, there's going to be some good football players getting cut, too.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to happen. There are going to be good football players cut this year, which you want. I mean –
Right, that's right.
I mean, you want to make the last cut for Dave and Gus and the staff hard because that means you have a good football team.
Yeah, but Frank, we're going to get into some of these later picks, you know, that the Jaguars had tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And a little tease here for you.
Tease them up, Box.
I like the seventh rounder way better than I like somebody who was drafted well ahead of him.
Wow. Really? Woodard, okay. Okay, they looked the part. I'll say the pass rushers looked the part. I tell you what. Here's what's coming up for the next hour. You want to know a lot about those draft picks? The fellas have been watching tape. That comes up right now as Jaguars Thursday starts now.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. Driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome into the Hanania Autos studios.
I got to clear one thing up.
Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Thursday.
Okay,
JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. Good to see you guys again. Tony, go ahead.
Why do you have to say our names again, by the way? They just said them on the intro. Do you have to say it again? I think it's a waste of time, and Joe agrees with me. I mean, they just said it.
Kind of like you're wasting time right now.
Like this?
Well, pretty much.
Yeah. Like this is not.
But I want to clear one thing Frank said that's not accurate. He said all the guys watch tape of the other guys. There's only one person here who watched tape so far, and it's Jeff. So when it comes to anything beyond Sheldon Day in the evaluation, not all of you listening will be taking Jeff's word for it. So will I, because I haven't watched, outside of highlights, any of those back end guys yet. I'll obviously get
highlights
to it.
Can make them look really good.
Yeah, they can. And I'll get to
everybody
because I was deceived.
I'll get to that, and we'll talk about those guys later. But I'll watch that film before training camp and mini camp, obviously. But
I'm glad you're on it, Tony.
Well, I'm just being honest. I mean, I don't want anyone to think that
dedication is second to none. It is.
Well, actually, it just happened. I mean, come on. I mean, Jeff. I'll let Jeff break down the sixth round quarterback that we drafted. And his reportedly small hands or whatever reason. Yeah. I mean, he's a good football player. I watched him in Arkansas. But we'll talk about those guys later.
We will. We'll break down all the Jaguars draft picks. In fact, a couple signed their rookie contracts just about 20 minutes ago. Allen and Holmes are both signed officially for the Jaguars. That just happened here at Everbank Field. And the veterans are in. Phase two underway. They're out on the field the last couple of days. We'll break down the left tackle position. No fifth year for Luke Jokel. They didn't take the option. What does that mean? We'll get Tony's take, as they say, on the left tackle position for the Jags.
I think there's a podcast, Tony's Take.
I heard about that somewhere. Maybe we'll start another
one. Joe's favorite.
That is.
Favorite segment of the week during the season.
Let's start off with the top two picks. Ramsey, fifth overall, somehow fell to number five. That was the first real surprise of the draft. And then,
how do you fall when you've been picked fifth overall?
It's incredible because
only because they thought he's going to go third.
Ah, come on.
I don't think he
fell. He didn't fall.
Did you really, in your right mind, think he'd be there at five?
Yeah, I thought he might be, yeah.
I thought there was a chance. See, I agree with
a
Jeff
longer
on this.
Shot.
I don't think he fell.
It's
I
not mean, a fall.
No five. I mean,
now, Miles Jack was a fall.
Everyone knew that. One and two are going to be quarterbacks.
Miles
so.
Jack, you could call a fall.
I'll say this, though.
Tunsil, you could call a fall.
Tunsil was a fall.
Maybe a bit of a surprise he was there at five. Is that fair?
A pleasant surprise, but not shocking.
There you go.
I'll say this. If we would have sat here at 6 p.m. last week when we started the pre-draft show and then the draft show, and someone would have told me that we were going to end up with Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack – by the end of the draft, if we go off the air all of a sudden, it's because we've all been killed by the club above
collapsed.
Us. Yeah. The club above us
collapsing. This is a construction zone.
Yeah, but anyways, I mean, Jeff, could you, in any scenario, imagine having those two guys in your roster?
No, and here, you know, when we left on Thursday night last week, go home, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm going, are they going to trade up? Or are they going to trade up?
Right.
Because you knew that Miles Jack was falling.
There were feelers out there.
And knew that there was a chance that, I mean, we knew that they loved Miles Jack that much, as they should have. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
The construction up above has started again.
All right, just talk loud,
Jackhammer.
Jeff. Talk loud.
So then when the first round ended and then, you know, the next day was going to be the second round, I said to myself, I said, they're going to go up and get him.
Yeah.
Yep. And I was like, here's the thing. I was wondering, what would it take? I didn't know. You know, you look at, you know, what's the point value assigned to the to the draft picks. And
right. You don't know.
If people didn't know, they're doing a little reconstruction here at the stadium here. They're making a really nice facelift of the East and the West clubs.
Yeah.
And they're jackhammering concrete out. Clearly, they're doing that right now.
Well, they weren't doing it all day until right now.
Until right now. Can we get somebody up there to tell them just to take a break?
Not listening to Jaguars Thursday radio.
Get the union and stop them for an hour.
Give them a Cinco de Mayo break or something like
that.
But, I mean, when he was available in the second round, I said, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
They're going to do it because now, I mean, the costs have dropped significantly from, you know, from the first bottom of the first round and the second round. I said, now it's totally doable. And sure enough, they went up and got him. And, I mean, a great job by Dave Caldwell. Very fortunate. Fortunate for the Jaguars, unfortunate for Miles Jack. I mean, it's cost him millions and millions of dollars to fall that far all the way down in the second round.
Well, Dave Caldwell said after the fact that it would have cost a fourth-round pick to move up back to the first round.
What'd you say? What?
You can't even hear me. It would have cost a fourth-round pick to get back up there in the first round, and they wanted four solid picks. They ended up trading a fifth-rounder instead, and that was well worth the cost moving two picks.
And I think he's very accurate in saying they wanted, you know, four solid picks. They got four very solid picks.
Yeah.
Not to get too much into all the other picks, but I really like the acquisition of Sheldon Day. I did not watch any film of him prior to the draft because you can't watch.
You can't watch everybody.
350.
No.
Unless you're scouting, and that's what you do.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, after the fact today watching him, I mean, first off, he's a captain at Notre Dame. To me, that says something.
Oh, absolutely. He's a leader.
A leader.
At a school like Notre Dame, any of those top programs, if you're one of the captains,
no.
You're doing something.
No, and so, I mean, you like that aspect of it. And so I couldn't wait to watch him play. And he plays like a captain that Notre Dame should. He plays hard. He is has positional flexibility. He can play different positions. And he's got a great motor, and he's athletic. So I really like his selection, and you know, all of a sudden now you're looking at, like Tony was saying just a little bit ago, I mean, there might be some players that are pretty good that are going to get cut.
Can you tell me, though, because I'm with you, I mean, you're sitting at the end of round one, and I'm like, wow, Miles Jack's not there. I mean, could he be there when we, you know, pick in the second or trade up? But, I mean, I hope Dave Caldwell sends a big box of chocolates or fruits or flowers to – Jerry Jones, because not only did he pick Ezekiel Elliott to let Ramsey come to us, and then somehow they pick a guy who has drop foot, Jalen Smith, feel terrible for him, great player, instead of Miles Jack.
Well, the Cowboys team physician did that surgery on Jalen Smith.
I don't care who did it.
That's a reason behind
that. But, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, when the Cowboys pick Jalen Smith and pass to Miles Jack, I'm like, are you kidding me?
I don't think that's a bad thing. As far as Jalen Smith, I mean, they have complete confidence he's going to make a full recovery. And to me, you know,
Jeff, you're talking about a major knee with nerve damage.
I'm
not saying it's not going to come back. I hope it does.
Not disputing that.
But I was shocked that if you felt like, because now if they were both healthy, Jalen Smith would be a notch ahead of Miles Jack, but not much. Not a lot.
Not a lot, but
he would be. He's a freak.
Let me tell you this.
You're talking about major.
Major knee
injury.
Surgery. But you know what? Today, watching Sheldon Day.
Oh, Jalen Smith's like nasty.
You know somebody's good, like out of the world good when you're watching somebody, but your eyes keep on drifting over and watching somebody else, and that's what it's like with Jalen Smith. And I said that I thought Miles Jack was the best defensive player in the draft. And I still stick by that comment. But if Jalen Smith were healthy, Jalen Smith would be the best defensive player in the draft. But I never considered him for being the best defensive player in the draft because of the injury that he had. You got to take him out of the even consideration for that. But Jalen Smith is a wonderful player, can do it all. He can rush, he can cover. He's got freakish athletic skills. And I don't think there's any doubt he would have been the first defensive player off the board.
Oh, without a doubt.
If he was healthy.
Oh, no, he would have been.
And so, and I don't, you know, I don't.
I just think, I'm just looking
hard,
at it.
It's hard to criticize Jerry completely on that one because, you know, in defense of his case, he made a statement today and he said, look, you know, when you trade picks, you know, if you give away a second round pick next year, it's worth a first round pick this year.
No, I understand his reasoning and everything, Jeff.
Or
just
give a second-round pick away this year, it's worth a first-round pick next year. Jalen Smith, the best defensive player in the draft, if healthy, to spend a second-round pick on that.
Okay, the very reason.
But it is a gamble.
The very reason he took Ezekiel Elliott, because they need to win now and they need that compliment, because Tony Romo has only 3 years left. Criticized
Jerry for taking Ezekiel Elliott when he had the opportunity to trade down.
I agree with that. So
Ezekiel Elliott would have been.
So that was bad. I disagree with that move.
That's
right
where he deserved the most criticism.
But my point is about somebody trading up for Elliott at 5 with the Jags, which is kind of crazy.
Who's going to do that?
Yeah, nobody.
It's nuts.
But then you're looking at an organization that has to win now, and you're picking a player that's not going to help you now. Because they have a limited window with Tony Romo.
So, but see, they pick Ezekiel Elliott.
I agree. To win now.
To win now.
And then they pick Jim. That's my point. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, this kind of sounds like Jalen Smith's knee surgery right now going on above us.
Yeah, that's when they take the bone out of the middle third of that patellar tendon to replace the ACL. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah.
Quick question before we go away here. Ramsey or Jack, who has the more immediate impact on defense for the Jags?
To me, it's Miles Jack. I think because the position he plays and his skill set. I think Jalen Ramsey is going to be a heck of a player. But listen, transitioning to corner in this league,
that's tough.
Is very hard.
Even for a guy like him.
Oh, for anybody. It's a tough position. It's like, I mean,
even coming in with great speed.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
He has everything you want. But listen, here's the tough position. There are three positions or four really, that are the hardest to transition into as a rookie. Quarterback's number one. After that, 2A and 2B are corner and left tackle. And then third would be a pass rusher because it's hard to become an effective pass rusher right away because in college you just beat people with your athletic ability and now all of a sudden you got to use technique that maybe you're not trained in. Those are the hardest positions. Running back, no big deal. Linebacker, it's reactive. Inside defensive player, not a big deal. Safety, it's a reactive position. Wide receiver, if you can run and catch, you can run and catch anywhere. But those are tough positions. And corner might be – I probably put it ahead of left tackle because you're out there on an island, especially in this scheme where you're going to be asked to play a lot of man, where the mental aspect might be a little bit easier. But you're telling me Jalen Ramsey's used to be matched up against a guy like Hopkins?
And if you had an established pass rush, you'd say, well, you know, maybe the corner's got a chance to excel.
Yeah, but it's tough.
It's a work in progress.
And so because of that, I think Miles Jack has a bigger immediate impact. Long term, it's a coin flip because they're both great players.
And Miles Jack's got great speed.
Yeah.
And for that position, you know, Jalen Ramsey has great speed. But are there a lot other corners in the league that don't have that type of speed? There's a lot of corners that have great speed. Are there a lot of linebackers that have speed like a Miles Jack?
Yeah, there is one at least.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Calvin Smith.
But there ain't many.
I mean, the two of you know how fast we went from being not very fast at linebacker to maybe having two of the fastest linebackers in the league.
No question.
SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass. Catch one today. We'll break down the rest of the Jaguars draft picks and grab the construction helmets. That's coming up next. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Yeah, and Ngakoue, I saw a lot of him at Maryland. He can get around a corner, and he can be a real problem for offensive tackles getting out of their stance and dealing with his outside pressure. He's stronger than you think. He's naturally strong. He doesn't have great length. But he can get after it. I like that pick. And I think with Holmes and Woodard, Jonathan Woodard's the guy out of Central Arkansas. You watch him, he showed promise. He showed potential. I thought he was a guy that could go a little earlier. Six of their seven picks were on the defensive side. So you know where the emphasis was. And then you throw in Dante Fowler Jr. as a bonus.
Mel Kiper Jr., Logs Boy on an ESPN
conference
call.
Yeah, me and him are tight.
Earlier this week.
Real tight.
Recapping the draft. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Hey, don't miss your chance, Tony. You can take home a piece of Jaguars history right now.
What's that?
You get some seats.
I mean, you can get seats. For only $250, you can own a pair of authentic U.S. Assure Club Stadium seats. And there are limited seats available still. Visit jaguars.com/souvenir seats. I mean, cool. I know you're a part of the Jaguars history, but if you want to own
You know what
piece
I wish we had? You know, the Jaguars players' locker room now, each locker has, you know, these really nice big chairs. We used to have metal stools.
Pretty much.
Wow. Times have changed.
Metal stools.
Well, everything's changed. They have electronics.
Wouldn't mind having a couple of those stools, you know?
Yeah. Our thanks, by the way, to Nick Sobek here in the front office, who went upstairs and asked the construction gentleman to
just to take a little bit of a break.
Until 7 o'clock.
You.
So thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
No more jackhammering during the show.
I got a question for
you. Okay, hit me, Tony.
Brought
what's
up, or it's not really for you because I don't really care what you think.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate
Jeff.
That.
Yeah.
It's really not that funny.
I crack myself up.
Yeah, you're not that funny.
Kiper brought up the bonus of Dante Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
What is a realistic expectation in your mind, because I have some thoughts, on what we can expect out of Dante Fowler this year?
That's a better question for Jeff than me anyway. I'm glad you asked him and not me. Yep.
What do you want a number? Sacks-wise, performance-wise?
Just overall impact.
Well, I think it's still going to be an adjustment for him, but I think the adjustment should be minimized somewhat because he has at least had a year to learn and to watch the preparation of the room, to understand the scheme, to be able to learn how to study film, to watch opponents, to get familiar with personnel. But, I mean, it's still going to be an adjustment from a physical standpoint. I mean, that's until you actually feel it and do it. As a pass rusher, you got to have live reps. So, I mean, it's still going to be an adjustment period for him. So, if I had to put a number on sacks for Dante this year, I think if he had, you know, 5 or 6 sacks, to me, I would consider this year a success for him.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Because I think what everyone is forgetting, and I do sometimes when I talk about him, he didn't play defensive end in college.
He played a little bit of everything.
He played everywhere, but he rushed on third down, but he was a linebacker. He dropped, played in the middle. I mean, he's a heck of a football player. But we're going to ask him to come in and play Leo, which is defensive end position, put his hand on the ground, and come after the quarterback and play the run. I just think I want to temper everyone's expectations. That not that he won't be a double-digit sack guy someday. I think he will be. I think he's a heck of a football player. But I think it's unfair to the kid, or he's not a kid, young man, and I'm glad we got these other young players coming in, because before it was like, oh, we got Dante Fowler. He's going to help the pass rush. And I think that's a quite a burden. I'm not sure that's fair to him.
No, I think, you know, reasonable expectation.
If he got 4 or 5 sacks, I think it's a great year.
And even on the high end, 5, 6, I mean, to me, I would consider that a very successful year.
I would too.
For a young player coming in. And
off an ACL.
Off an ACL. We kind of ignore that sometimes, and people ignore that. Well, he's fine. Well, no, he's not fine yet. I mean, he hasn't done anything football-wise since
one thing.
His last year at the University of Florida,
he has
with the exception of 45 minutes of a rookie minicamp.
By the time he puts the pads on in August, end of July, it'll be 18 months.
Yeah, I figured 18 to 20
months. No, more
months.
Than 20 months,
four
actually.
Months,
it'll
yeah,
be 20 months.
Be 20 months.
20 months since he put a helmet and shoulder pads on.
19,
and
20 months.
And felt contact.
Yeah, and that's you know, it's going to take some time to get the rust off. But the good thing is that
– he's a heck of an athlete, though. My goodness.
He's, I think, cleared. You know, they're going to work him back in, but I think medically he's cleared.
Yep.
And they're going to work him back in, so he's now – you know, almost a year, I guess.
Basically, a year this
surgery. Well, I mean, he tore it this week.
That's what I'm saying.
But then, I mean, surgery didn't happen immediately. So
I think they let the swine go down.
Yeah,
for
so
a
almost
weeks.
A year. He's going to be a year by the time they get on the field. So physically, he should be feeling pretty good. Now, not normal, because, I mean, you know, you still haven't done football drills.
Jeff,
you know,
I've been through it. You've been through it. Until you get hit and go on that field. And let it loose.
Yeah, it's going to take a while.
Mentally, you're not ready until you go do it.
Yeah, Mel Kiper is one of my best friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all buried the hatchet.
No.
I haven't buried the hatchet.
Well, we didn't really have anything to bury anyway.
He just buried you on draft night.
That's okay. I mean, he's paid to have an opinion, and, you know, I mean, it's actually, you know, at the time it wasn't very funny, but now I think it's kind of funny.
I think it's very funny.
It's fantastic.
At the time, I didn't think it was
funny. At the time, you probably were like,
At the time, I was ready to put my hands around Mel's neck.
I've said it like 15 times, but I remember watching that, sitting there watching that draft, and when they picked Jeff Lockerman and the booze, I was like, wow, that stinks to be him.
I was wanting to take him and just, you know, get my hands on his neck and say, and then take a pair of clippers and cut all his hair off.
Well, wow. You guys had similar hair.
No. I was in a mullet. He didn't have a mullet. No, he's got the, you know, the...
But it was his
big
wave. His was a little long, too.
The big wave all around.
Let's touch on some of these later draft picks for the Jaguars. We've already hit Ngakoue and Day a little bit. So, Holmes out of Montana, FCS powerhouse, 18 sacks last year at that level. What do you make of Tyrone Holmes in the sixth round?
You know, the first impression is when you watch the highlights is, wow, you know, and then you look at the number. Wow, right? And, you know, they talk about how when you have a player from a small school, he has to dominate and to catch your attention. And he did dominate as far as sacks go. You know, at the University of Montana, there's a little bit of a tradition that they have and that the best defensive player wears 37. And I've discovered this today from a alum of the University of Montana. Mm. And
I take it he wasn't fit 37?
Well, let me kind of explain it first. You know, the best defensive player wears 37, the senior. Okay, and then that senior next year designates who wears 37 the following year. Well, Tyrone did not wear 37. Another guy did, defensive tackle, defensive lineman. And which was kind of surprising. I mean, you think a guy, you know, that's got 18 and a half sacks, that he'd wear 37 at Montana, right? And so was watching him, kind of learn a little bit about that, and then watching him play, there's no question that he has a great first step. He's quick, and he, you know, and he's got that funny stance like Babin, Jason Babin,
who real low, here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, 4-point stance. That he's almost like eating an apple off the ground, head down low. And the difference is that, you know, Babin actually looked semi-athletic in his stance. Whereas Tyrone Holmes kind of looks, he's got kind of his feet are out a little bit. It looks weird. But he's got he gets up the field in the first couple steps, and he's got some strength to bend the corner. But to be honest with you, I don't think he's a great athlete. I don't think he's a very good athlete.
What were his numbers at the combine?
Let me see here. I don't even think he was invited to the combine.
That
be honest
level,
with you.
Yeah, or did he have a pro day? I mean, he had to have some numbers associated with
him. Wasn't at the combine.
You know, sixth rounder, right?
Sixth round.
So, I mean, you're going to –
it's a developmental guy.
Well, you're going to take some shots. Yeah. You look at a guy 18 half sacks, he knows how to get the quarterback.
3 years ago, this would have been a guy you would have had on the field a lot because of the roster here.
Well, here's my concern.
So, his job is
– sixth round pick, right? Pass rusher. Okay, maybe he's a project. He's going to develop a little bit. In the meantime, maybe he can play special teams. I didn't see a guy that could run when he was on the field. You know what I mean? As far as when the play goes away.
How does he compare to Chris Smith athletically?
Chris Smith is a better athlete. But Chris Smith has anticipation of the snap.
But he doesn't have a great first step.
But he doesn't have a great first step to where he's gaining a lot of ground and covering, you know, some acreage. You know, he's just anticipatory. You know, so I mean, I hope I'm wrong, because he does have the ability, once he gets past a guy, to power through. But, you know, I mean, Tony, you know, National Football League, you're not getting that first step, that kind of advantage at the NFL level like you're getting at Montana.
No, you got to be able to finish.
So I hope I'm wrong on this. And I'm not saying that this is a bad pick. I'm just saying that it's not my favorite pick. Because if you go down to round 7.
Who's your favorite pick of the guys
of the late rounds?
After Day?
Round 7.
Jonathan Woodard, defensive end, Central Arkansas. What do you got?
Love him. He's got He's got length. He's what, 6 foot six, 270 pounds. And he uses his arms. You know, there's a lot of players that have the length that don't use the arms to have the separation. He does. And he's got that freakish strength to where when guys hit him, you know, you don't ever see him kind of get knocked off track.
Yeah.
Nah, it's just like he's just running through people. He plays with power at times. The only thing that he probably doesn't have is that quick twitch, but he's quick enough. And if he gets anywhere around a quarterback, some of the great pass rushers, they all have the ability to finish to where they're close and they close the deal. And this young man has incredibly strong hands. If he gets his hands on you, you're going down. And that's a rare, you know, feature or capability to have as a defensive player. And it doesn't matter whether he's grabbing him around the ankles, whether he's grabbing him by a jersey, running by the quarterback, or running back, you know, kind of diving and he makes plays. He makes plays. And there was some film of him against Texas Tech, which, you know,
that's a
big program. And that might have been one of his most impressive games. Just because the way he played in that game, you could tell that he took it as a challenge and that he wanted to see how he matched up against D1. And I thought he played very well in that game. I like him. He's long like Jason Pierre-Paul. You know, he's got that kind of length about him. But he doesn't have that. I mean, JPP's a freakish athletic ability. This guy's clearly an athlete. And he kind of reminds me a little of Clyde Simmons. And I'm not saying he's the type of player of Clyde Simmons, but it's just that smooth, effortless.
Could he be like a guy like Jason Jones, a long time Tennessee Titan, the long, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Real long guy?
Yeah, you know, and to go back like way old school, because he's, you know, of course he's playing, and what is that level of college, Central Arkansas? What is that?
I'm guessing it's FCS.
FCS, okay. And because, you know, he's so tall. He stands out.
Yeah, Southland Conference.
You remember when the Dallas Cowboys had Ed Too Tall Jones, yeah. And you used to look at him and go, look at how tall. He's like a basketball player playing football. This is kind of how he looks. He's got that kind of length, but he's functional. I really like that pick in the seventh round. Really like it.
Bonus points if you can name the only other Jags draft pick from Central Arkansas ever.
I have no idea.
No idea for Tony.
Hold on a minute. Mm-hmm. Central Arkansas?
Central Arkansas. Mm-hmm.
It was Austin Lane.
No. Larry Hart in 2010. That's right. 143rd overall.
Larry Hart came back in year two, and he was weighing like 200 and he's a tweener. Linebacker slash pass rusher.
Yeah, yeah.
And he comes to camp the first year. I think, if I remember right, he's a 245-pound guy. He comes back the next after taking the break from the first season to come back for spring workouts. I think he weighed like 265.
Oh.
And I remember, I think it was Joe Cullen. Joe Cullen goes, my God, Larry, what'd you do? Did you just eat fast food for the last 3 months and not work out? Poop. That was it for Larry.
See ya. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. We'll leave you right now with Logs Boy.
New York Jets, first round choice. Jeff Lagerman, linebacker, Virginia.
As a season ticket holder of the Jets, I'm going to boo. It's obvious to me right now that the Jets just don't understand what the draft's all about.
This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Man, I'm so excited right now still. Right after Dallas' pick went in, no more than a minute later, my phone started ringing. I saw 904 immediately. I picked the phone up so quick, I didn't even let it get through the first ring. I'm just excited to come to Jacksonville. Team back up with Telvin and Rashad. Last time I teamed up with them, we got a national championship. I know the organization is on the rise, and hopefully I can, you know, help and get back to the top.
Jalen Ramsey, Jaguars first-round pick. SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars Thursday continues.
All the rookies in.
They all came in today.
Yep, and they're going through all the hoops that they have to, you know, medicals and everything else. And I guess the next couple of days they'll be on the field sort of for a mini camp, but not really a mini camp because you're not having team.
It sounds like individual positional things going on and a very limited amount of that. So not open to the public, but you'll see a little bit of stuff on Jaguars.com the next couple of days. Some media availability tomorrow and Saturday with the rookies. So check that out on Jaguars.com. Well, the rest of the team's in, too. The offseason program continues, phase two. They're out on the field in the morning time going through some drills also. They can work as a group on offense and as a group on defense, but not against each other. Separate spaces is the rule. So they're getting that done. I guess some of the biggest news earlier this week in that regard was that the start of May is when you had to decide on fifth-year options for former first-round picks. The Jaguars elected to not – take the option of the fifth year for Luke Jokel, the left tackle. Beecham is in as a free agent. Tony, we got to hear from you. What do you make of the situation? Does this change anything?
It doesn't change the competition at all. It doesn't surprise me one bit. I didn't think they would pick up the fifth year option. I think
because of the number. The number is like over $11 million for the 1 year.
Yeah.
It's like 11.9 or whatever it is. So, I mean, to me,
but it's not. No, but here's the thing: if Luke Jokel was. If you had no concerns at left tackle and you felt like
– you got to be elite.
He was a upper echelon – I'm not even saying a Pro Bowl, just upper echelon tackle where you said, this is our guy, then you lock him up. And it's obvious they don't feel that way. Not that they don't like Luke and not that he can't win the job. And I think they probably hope he has continues to progress and gets better. But based on the last 2 years of play at left tackle, I think they looked at it and said – you know what? We'll let it play out and see where it ends up. And that's the other reason they went and got Kelvin Beecham, because they want that position to play better, whether it's Luke or it's Kelvin. Does not matter.
No, and that's the way to do it. I mean, bring in competition. I mean, how often do you get an opportunity of bringing in another starting-level left tackle? I mean, I think they're very fortunate to be able to have gotten Kelvin Beecham. I mean, if he didn't have an ACL, would he have been available?
No.
No.
No chance.
No. Pittsburgh tried to lock him up the year before.
Didn't
for
do
a long-term contract, and then he wouldn't do it.
But they weren't offering him hardly anything.
Well, they were offering him good money, but he wanted left tackle
money. Yeah,
but it
wasn't starting left tackle money.
And he said, no, I'll roll the dice. He rolled the dice. It didn't work out for him.
And the Jaguars have, it's a one-year deal with a four-year option. You know, so that was the smart thing to do. And look, you know, I had to explain this to a friend of mine, and that, you know, a lot of people assume, well, the Jaguars didn't pick up the fifth-year option. That means that they don't want him, and he's going to be gone.
No, not
after
at
this
all.
Year. No, that's not the case. It just means that the Jaguars weren't comfortable paying $11.9 million or whatever it is guaranteed to him.
It's not guaranteed. It's only injury guaranteed.
Guaranteed for injury.
If he played the season and got hurt and they weren't happy, they could cut him and owe him nothing. But
that's
if he
right.
got hurt,
then they would have been on the hook for that. So you don't want to pay somebody $11 point something million unless you know for sure that they're going to be worth that. But at the end of this year, he will be a free agent.
But and you can lock him up at that time,
you can negotiate with him just like anybody else.
And not only that, but let's say Luke Jokel has a great year and ends up being a Pro Bowl type player. Well, then and now he wants a lot of money and you can't agree to a contract, lock him up as a franchise player.
That's right.
I mean, there's no risk in the big scheme for the Jaguars.
Here's the surprise. Eric Fisher, who was drafted first overall in the same draft class.
He got locked up somehow.
Chiefs picked up his – I'm sorry. I watched film on both of these guys. I've watched Luke Jokel a lot more than I've watched Eric Fisher. But I've watched Eric Fisher. You kind of pay attention to Eric Fisher because, you know, there's going to be the comparison, Luke Jokel, Eric Fisher. And I said this, and I still believe this, that Luke Jokel – has better talent than Eric Fisher.
He's a better player.
But the Chiefs picked up the option for Eric Fisher for that number. I'm sorry, he's not worth that number. The Chiefs should have done exactly as the Jaguars had done and said, no, we'll see what happens at the end of this year. Because, you know what? Ain't nobody else going to pay Eric Fisher $11.9 million. Not going to happen.
Kelvin Beecham earlier this week, I think on Jaguars.com with John Osher, said, hey, he plans to be the left tackle here and play 19 games at left tackle.
I like that
you
attitude.
You got to like that attitude.
Right? Darn right. Darn right. That's, hey, there's always talking about 19 games for those who don't know. 16 regular season games, get a bye, and then you get 3 games to play in the Super Bowl. 19 games. It's a great attitude to have. You know, and a lot of people think, well, is that arrogance? No.
He is a confident, competitive dude.
It's confidence. It's a belief in himself, and it's not arrogance, and it's not anything distasteful or derogatory towards Luke Jokel. Yeah. Has nothing to do with any of that. I like that. You want your players confident, and he's confident in his abilities. And most importantly, he's confident that he will be able to come back from a major knee injury and be as good as and better player than he was before.
Let me ask you this, Tony. Whoever does not win the left tackle job, can they play left guard?
They got to compete there.
They'd have to compete. I think yes is the short answer. I think Kelvin Beecham probably is better suited for guard if he were to lose the job. I mean, my only concern with Luke at guard would be, where does Luke struggle sometimes?
Power.
And you have to be a powerful person to play guard. Now, with that said, when a guy is tight on Luke, he's pretty good. And in guard, you're playing in small spaces. Usually where Luke had struggled with power in the past is in space, on the speed, the bull. He gets in space, he gets his feet a little messed up, starts getting bad body position, that's when he gets bulled.
Head drops.
Speed to bull, you mean they're going to go outside you and then all of a sudden come right at you. Is that kind of what
you
mean?
Well, yeah, speed to bull is you got a wide rusher, he's speed rushing you, and then he transitions the bull. Yeah,
okay, gotcha.
And he gets out of sorts a little bit, and so maybe he could do it. I'm not saying he can't, but you're going to have to compete because you have obviously A.J. Can.
Yep.
You have
Here's the key to everything.
Shatley, you have Bordeaux.
What's going to happen at center? Yeah, that's the big question.
Linder's the center, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, said this before, you know, a Pro Bowl level player at right guard. Does that guarantee a Pro Bowl level player at center? No. But if I would like to have my best interior offensive lineman playing center. Because to me, it's a more important position, which, you know, if Brandon Linder can do it, great. Line him up there and let him and Blake Bortles have a career together.
I agree.
You'd love to have that. But, as I said, hasn't done it. You know, so a little bit of a question mark with that. But that's the key to kind of figuring out what's going to happen with, you know, with left guard. You know, because if Linder is not going to move to center, Linder's going to be your left guard or your right guard, one or the other, and then your other guard's going to be A.J. Can. You think Beecham or Luke Jokel is going to be able to beat out one of those two guys? I don't think so.
Nope.
What do you think happens at left tackle, Jeff?
I said this to you last Thursday night. How can it be a competition? I'm talking about a true competition. Because Beecham's coming back from an ACL. So it's not like you're going to be comparing apples to apples, right? I mean, because Beecham is going to be on a return-to-play protocol, as we've heard that term many times. So his reps are going to be limited. And if you're going to make the decision based on expectation, past performances, you give the nod to Kelvin Beecham probably. And here's the other thing. If you're going to have it as a true competition, right, which would go all the way up until third preseason game. Now what are you going to do with the other guy? You're going to say, oh, if you have a true competition, then neither one of the guys is going to move to play somewhere else because then they wouldn't have time to acclimate to the position they're going to compete at for the next spot.
That's right, yep.
I mean, you just can't
do
it.
You have to have reps in the other position,
too. My question was, though, not the scenario of how it's – what do you think happens at
the end? Beecham's your left tackle.
Okay.
So what do you think, Tony?
I'm up in the air a little bit. But if gun to head, I'd probably say that. But I think it'll be more of a competition because I think by that first week of August, I think Beecham will be not full reps, but doing a lot of the reps, and you'll be able to get a good sense of where he is and kind of how that knee is playing out and how he feels. So I would be surprised if one of them is the left guard, though, if whoever loses.
Yeah, because for the competition to be really evaluated, you got to see game condition. You got to see how Luke Jokel handles speed to power. You're not going to see that until the first, second preseason game. Nope. You know, so, you know, because Luke Jokel, when he's wearing no pads, he looks as good as anything, you know, so.
Let me ask you, if Kelvin Beachum wins the job, do you trade Luke Jokel at the end of training camp?
Mm. Well, you'd listen. Yeah, you'd absolutely listen.
You know, because I know
second
everyone,
overall pick in the draft.
Well, not only that, I know everyone in this market thinks Luke Jokel's terrible. He's not terrible at all.
No, he's not.
And if he doesn't win the job here, there's 10 teams that would say he is an upgrade at what we have right now at tackle.
Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. We'll look around the league after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. I got to ask you this. Are you ready for more, Jags fans? We know Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack are ready for more. The NFL's number one draft class takes the field this fall, and season tickets on sale now. Jaguars.com/tickets.
I got mine.
You got them?
Yeah.
Where are yours?
I have.
Or do you want to put that out there?
Oh, I don't care. I have some Terra Suites.
Oh.
And then I have 10 in the south end zone.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of tickets, Tony.
I'm a season ticket holder. I'm invested.
it sounds like you are. That's good. We appreciate your business.
Yeah.
Over
Mike,
here,
Everbank
Field.
Kids and friends sit in the south end zone, and the wife and the younger kids sit up in the and I sit with you guys.
Let's look around the National Football League. We start off with Johnny Manziel in court today for less than 15 minutes, released on $1,500 bond. He can have no contact with Colleen Crowley or in possession of any firearms. He didn't enter a plea today, but plans to plead not guilty to the misdemeanor charges. The penalty's up to a year in jail and a $4,000 fine.
Well, my guess is he never plays football again.
No. No. How about the mugshot? Did you see it?
Smiling.
A little smirk.
I mean, come on, Johnny.
Now, in fairness to him,
doesn't get it.
He's innocent until he's proven guilty, so he'll have his day in court and the process will play out, but what he's not innocent of is being a dummy and just making bad decisions, lifestyle choices, and not learning.
He doesn't get it.
No, he doesn't get it. And I'm not saying, you know, he's 21 years old, and I'm not going to judge him whether he has a problem or not. And go out and have a drink if you want to. That's your business. But be aware of your circumstances and beware of the perception of you. And don't just rub it in people's faces.
When Drew Rosenhaus fires you, the agent,
yeah, that'll tell you something, huh?
You got a problem.
We touched on this earlier. No injured reserve, though, for Jalen Smith, the Cowboys' second-round pick linebacker. Jerry Jones told a Dallas station that they'll take a chance he's back for the playoffs.
No, Jerry. You know, you got a player who had a major knee injury, and you're going to put the pressure on him that, you know, we're going to keep him on the active. No, you just come out and you say, look, he is a futures pick for us, and we believe that it is best serving our organization and Jalen Smith that we let him completely recover and dedicate himself to becoming healthy. End of story, end of conversation, then there's no Jalen Smith watch and making a story out of it.
Yeah.
Which
I mean,
Jerry has a tendency to kind of
like. You're talking about a player who does not have use of his foot because of nerve damage in the knee that was hurt, and you're talking about being ready for the playoffs on a team that was 4-12 last year? I mean, come on. I'm with Jeff.
Look,
I mean,
perfect example. Compare stupid. Jerry Jones' comments to Dave Caldwell's comments last year with Dante Fowler. End of story.
Yeah, night and day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jerry should have learned a lesson the way Dave Caldwell handled it last year. What was more realistic to expect Dante Fowler to maybe be back than I think it would be with Jalen Smith's injury.
Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders promising $500 million towards the construction of a $1.4 billion dome stadium near the Strip in Vegas. The funding gap could be overcome by tax money and the Sands Group, Sheldon Adelson, and all that. What do you make of the Las Vegas Raiders?
I got one thing to say. How hot would it be at 1 o'clock kickoff in Las Vegas?
It's a dome. It's a dome. It's inside.
Is it air conditioned?
Oh, yeah. Yes. All the domes are air conditioned, you idiot.
Major air conditioned.
They all are.
It's a sauna.
There's never been a dome built that's not air conditioned.
The first ever stadium sauna.
Well, I mean, Cowboys Stadium is kind of a semi-dome, right? And it's not air conditioned.
It's a retractable roof.
No, but when that roof shut down, they can turn the –
Yeah. I just remember when the conversation first started about Las Vegas, I was sitting there going, how are you going to get a player to go agree to play for the Raiders in Las Vegas
training camp
for Sunday?
Yeah.
Well, forget about Sunday because it's air conditioned. What about – you better have an indoors facility year-round. Could you imagine training camp or those early practices early in the season when it's 105?
Picking cactus
and
out of your
you better have
booty.
You better have a good security team that manages the players in Vegas.
Oh, boy. What stays in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas if the Raiders are out on town.
That'll do it, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Tony Buscelli, Jeff Flogman, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.